Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastors Becca Bruner and Jonathan Meisel.
They get two for the price of one today. How about that? Well, today we're starting something new. We're kicking off a new series we're calling What's God Like? And for the next 6 weeks, that's what we're going to be focusing on. We're going to be looking at Jesus' vision on for what God is like. Because our hope is that Jesus' vision would shape the character of our church. That Paoli Presbyterian Church would become a place where who we are at our just kind of DNA core level, who we are, that what it feels like, what we do, how we think, all of that is shaped by Jesus' vision of who God is. And so we want to look to what Jesus said about what God is like. If you know any of the stories of Jesus' life, of course, you know that it happened often that Jesus found himself at odds with the religious authorities of his day. It happened all the time. Jesus would discover what they thought God was like tended to be pretty radically different from what he knew God was like. And so the way that Jesus chose to address these misperceptions, to correct these kind of wrong ideas about what God was like, well, he told stories. Stories in which he presented his vision of what God looks like. You've heard of them, of course. We call them parables. And each week for this season of Lent, we're going to take a parable, one a week. And as we look at these parables, our goal is to be that we can gain that clearer picture of the character of God in the stories that Jesus told, so that as our church grows in the days and weeks ahead, we can be shaped first and foremost by Jesus' vision and not as much by our own inclinations or attitudes. So today we get that first picture of what God is like as we encounter a story that Jesus told. Some of us know it. It's a familiar one. We call it the parable of the talents. And you can find it in Matthew 25, starting at verse 14.
And there we read, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." Now, to understand what Jesus is saying in this passage, we have to first of all recognize that when he talks about the word talent, he's actually talking about a unit of money, a measurement of money. And while it's sometimes difficult back through the centuries to determine exactly what the equivalent is for today, it's generally believed that a talent was worth about 15 years' wages for an ordinary wage earner. And so we're not used to receiving our payment like that in one sort of lump sum, but if you can imagine whatever your annual income is, 15 times that, and receiving that at one time, it's a large amount of money. And if you think about that for the individual who received the 5 talents, that's 75 years worth of labor, which is more than a lifetime of work. If you think of all that you would have earned throughout your entire working life, it's more than that. Jesus, the owner in this particular parable, was giving an extravagant amount of financial resource. And as we look at the lives that we live, we recognize that God has entrusted to us an extravagant amount. In some cases, we do live in an affluent area, and in some cases, we've been entrusted with material items and material resources. But even more than that is the very life that we live, the ability to live life, the ability to go about living life, to have abilities and gifts and talents that have been given to us by God in great and mighty ways. From the smallest of us to the largest of us, we have been blessed immensely by the God of the universe who loves us more than we can begin to imagine. In this case, the owner, when he entrusted these talents to his servants, was one thing we need to recognize, that the owner was maintaining ownership of those items that he was giving. It wasn't just a flat-out gift that they can go and do whatever they wanted with. They were given in trust the resources of the owner. And in a similar way this morning, we have been entrusted. We have been entrusted with gifts by God. And we are asked the question, what are we going to do with those resources? What are we going to do with that trust that God has placed in us? Some in this parable took those resources and put them to work. Recognizing the trust that was placed in them, they allowed those things to be multiplied and to be used. And that took some risk. There's always risk when we put those items to use. It's possible that that couldn't have, may not have gone well. But others, the one, instead of following and using the trust that the owner of those resources had given to him, he instead buried that resource. He took what he thought was the easy way out in fear and wasn't willing to be used by the master.
So God is recklessly generous. But God expects us to do something with what he has generously given us. There are some strings attached. The master gave his slaves their respective talents and then he went away, but the story continues. Verse 19, Jesus says, after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more, saying, master, you've handed to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Story goes on. The second slave did the exact same thing. He took the 2 talents he was given, went out, invested them, came back with 2 more, and he received those same words of praise. Well done, good and trustworthy slave. Things did not go so well for the 3rd slave. Story goes on. He says, then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed, so I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave. Take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. What we need to know about God, what Jesus wants us to know about God, is that he expects us to do something with the talents that he gives us. God expects us to be hard at work with every single gift that he gives. But that's not easy for us. We all have within us, as individuals and as a collective body here in the church, we have within us this tendency to retreat, to take the safe route, to hide our talents away for safekeeping. We all face that temptation, so we have to recognize it so that we can avoid it. Because Jesus is telling us that we will all face a day, again, both as individuals, but also as a collective body, we will all face a day when we are called to stand before our master, and he will ask us what we have done with the gifts that he gave. And what he is going to want to hear is if we were willing to take that risk, to risk it all for him.
So the servants, the slaves in the passage that we read today were clearly directed by the master. The master had a plan for them. The master had entrusted to them these resources. And in a very similar and clear connection, we as Paoli Presbyterian Church have seen God's hand at work among us over the last months and years as we recognize the direction and the leading of God through a changing congregation and a changing world that we certainly live in. It's now been several years since our session began a process of discerning God's leadership for our congregation through the next season of our life. And we began to recognize the incredible and growing relational disconnect that we see in our world around us. While we can, in an instant, talk to someone literally around the world, and while we, at an instant, can get almost any fact that you can imagine at the palm of our hands, we also recognize again and again, and we hear this in our secular society again and again, that people are more and more isolated and lonely and disconnected. And so as we as a leadership and as a congregation have come together, we've recognized this reality in the world around us. But we've also recognized, as we've looked at Scripture and as we've sought God's guidance, that God desires to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. That God desires and invites us into a relationship with the God of the universe who created all things and loves us more than we can begin to imagine. We also recognize in Scripture that as we are changed and as God comes in and changes us as an individual, it's not just a solo kind of activity, but that changes how we relate to one another and how we come together and are the church, the body of Christ in our world. And so as we began to recognize this opportunity with the need in the world and what God is calling us to do, we've recognized that we are uniquely, and as the church, are uniquely placed in a lonely world and are invited to work to end relational poverty. You've heard that phrase, and it's a reminder to us of the opportunity that is before us. As we started out in that process a couple of years ago, we didn't know at that point how quickly Jeff's health would deteriorate and the impact that would have on the leadership in this congregation. And so over the last year or so, it has been difficult. It's been sad. It's been painful as we have worked through this time of transition. But we've also recognized through that process that while we didn't know what Jeff's health was going to be like during that period of time, God understood from the very beginning what Jeff's health was going to be like, and God called us to this same vision and this same path, regardless of who it was who was in this role as the pastor of this congregation. That it is God who has set before us this call to invite and help individuals to recognize that God has invited them into a relationship, and that God is inviting us as a congregation into a relationship with one another. And so as the session came to Becca and to me, and as we were asking us about this role as co-pastors, we prayerfully and were willing to say yes to that call because we recognized that in it God's guidance and God's leadership. We also recognized in the midst of that that God was working among you, the congregation of this congregation, and God was drawing you, and God was beginning to open all of our eyes to the opportunities that lie before us. And so as we come together for this service of installation, it's not just about us, meaning Becca and me. It's about us, Paoli Presbyterian Church, as we join with Donegal Presbytery and our brothers and sisters around the region to be the hands and the feet and the mouth and the bodies of Christ in this place and in this world. This is our opportunity as the body of Christ to say yes to God's leading and to say yes to God's guidance. Some put those talents into action. Others simply buried them and stood on the sideline. God is inviting all of us to follow in this path that he's laid before us.
So what does that look like? How do we get practical with this? We've said that our vision for the future of Paoli Presbyterian Church is that God has called us to end relational poverty. We want to allow God to use us to heal and to change the loneliness epidemic that is so rampant in our local community and indeed the entire developed Western world. So how do we, members of the church, invest the gifts and resources that God has given us into building up the kingdom of God here in this place? Well, I can't not think in threes. That Princeton just nailed that into me, so I got three things for you. First, invest your possessions. You know, in this parable, Jesus used money as a metaphor, but it's not just a metaphor. Jesus had all kinds of things to say about how we are to use our earthly wealth. And so invest your money. You know, we've said it before, recognizing that all is a gift from our recklessly generous God. If you believe that God is alive and at work here in this church, we think God might be inviting you to invest your money here. But not just your money. What you can buy with your money can be used for God in his kingdom. Think about your home. You know, most of us own or rent or live in some kind of home. How might you use that space to love God and love people? Most of us own cars. Just recently, Jonathan and I were meeting with a member of the church, and he told us, he said, you know, he's retired. He's like, I got time. I kind of like to drive. If you can think of anybody who could use a ride, you know, to doctor's appointments or whatnot, I could do that. And wouldn't you know, just a couple weeks later, somebody called and said, I got to get to a surgery. I don't have a ride. Can you help? We could help. You could help. You know, think about your dining room table. Gosh, what a powerful tool for ending relational poverty, because just beautiful things happen, don't they, when you get a group of people around a table sharing food. Stories just come out. Invest your possessions, invest your time. You know, time is probably second to our money. Time is our most valuable resource we've got, and none of us feel like we have enough of it. But in our pursuit of ending relational poverty, we can invest our time. We've shared these with you before, but to the end of ending relational poverty, we have these five strategic initiatives we've talked about. We want to connect the generations. We want to build community through personal and intentional relationships. Be passionate about energizing our children, youth, and families. Live the gospel in both word and action. And catalyze young adults to expand our mission, ministry of worship, discipleship, and mission. So if we're going to do those things, if we're going to end relational poverty, if we're going to successfully live out these strategies, well, I know one way it won't work. One way it definitely will not work is if it's all up to us, to Jonathan and me. That's not going to work. And another way it's not going to work is if it's even just all up to the paid staff here. We're not up to it. The only way that this is going to work with a vision that is as big and potentially world-changing as this, the only way it's going to work is if it's all of us in it together, investing our time. And finally, invest your talents. Like how we actually use that word, talents, your gifts, your abilities, your skills. You know, if we think again about that list of five strategies, look through it and think, you know, how could I take my time and my talents, put them together to make a difference in one of those areas? Like, if you're good at listening, there's a whole lot of people in this world who need to be listened to. Listen. If you're good, you feel like you're kind of comfortable with kids or with teenagers, start volunteering in our ministries for those folks. If you're gifted at hospitality, invite people over to your home for a meal. If you're good at details and administration, oh man, could we put you to work. If you're not sure how you're gifted, a little plug for our equipping team here. We actually have a handy-dandy online app, a little quiz you can take that tells you exactly, the lists you all the ways that you are gifted, and we can tell you then how you might put those gifts to work. But here's the summary. If we have anything at all to learn from this parable, it's simply this. When it comes to the abundance of gifts that God has given us as individuals and as a church, it's either use it or lose it. And I, for one, am very, very grateful to be one of the pastors of a church that is so faithful in using the gifts that God has given.
So we're excited to be your pastors. We're excited about Vision 2020 and the opportunity that we have all to grow in relationship with God and to live that out in relationships with one another. It's exciting to see the things that God is already doing in the midst of us in those regards. And the question is, are you going to use the talents that God has entrusted to you? Are you willing to join with God in what is already beginning to happen? Or are you going to bury those things on the side? We trust and we encourage that together, as God calls and God leads, Great things can continue to happen through the power and the work of God in our midst. So Lord God, we thank you today. We thank you for your presence with us in this place. We thank you for guiding us, directing us, and leading us in all things. We thank you for bringing us to this day, to this time where together we recognize your hand in and through us. May we together say yes to you. May we follow in the path that you have for us. And in doing so, may we bring glory and honor to you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.